At the Crossroads is a collection of sermons preached at Crossroads Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama. The following sermon was given by Pastor Aaron Smith on Sunday morning, January 14th, 2018.
Take your Bibles, if you would, and look with me to the book of Psalms in number 14. So Psalm number 14. Last week, we opened up the new year with our theme of 2018. Which is knowing God. And I trust that you will have a desire to know God more in this year than any other year of your life. Knowing God, of course, in His complete love and pity, God came to us. As God came to us as mankind, His creation, He came to us as Christ. The reason He came is that we would and could know Him, not just for our time on earth, but for our time in eternity in heaven. Now, I want to know God, and I want you to know God, and I want our church to know God. As we discovered last week, as we opened this theme, that if we are to know God, we must first know His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the foundation. As Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father, but by Me." And secondly, we took a look at knowing His attributes. Who is God? What is God all about? Do you know who He is and what He's all about? And thirdly, we looked that if we're going to know God, we must know His Word. Now this week, I want to want you to take the Word of God with me and look in the book of Psalms, in the 14th Psalm, as we continue our series of knowing God. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up My people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of His people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad." I want you to go back to verse number 2. As the Scripture says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men, to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." As you can see on the two signs behind me, our theme is knowing God. Knowing God by searching Him through the Scriptures, or seeking Him through the Scriptures. And that's what we want to talk about this morning as we preach. So let's pray together and we'll get started. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You so very much for giving us the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, because without Him, we would have no way of knowing You. We thank You that through Him, we can come to know You and to be personally invested and personally knowing and looking and seeking Your face through Your Word. This morning, as we go through this time together, Father, I pray that You would open our eyes that we might seek Thee. Open our heart that we might seek Thee with all of it. Father, that not only may we seek Thee, but Father, may we find Thee. May we find You in the Word. May we find You in our life, active, involved. Father, may we serve Thee always. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, at some point in time, we have all played what is known really more as a children's game than anything else, but hide and seek. Now, I'll ask this morning, is there anyone in the room that at no time in your life you have never played hide and seek. Never played. All right, so everybody knows what I'm talking about, right? Amen. Very good. So, okay, so just for a rundown, make sure everybody understands fully and completely. Hide and seek is that game where you play with a few people. You can play with as many as you want or as few as you want, I guess. And I guess you can't play with one. That would be just odd. But you can play with two if you chose to. But basically, it's the game where one person is the seeker and the other players are the hiders. And everyone is playing, of course, determines where the home base is going to be. And once that is determined, the seeker is going to close his eyes and proceed to count to a predetermined number. Now, that predetermined number really is based on who's playing. Now, I would suggest, and most of the time, that the minimum number would be 10, depending on the area that you're playing in. But if you're playing outside, I think that number really should be more around 50 to 100. And that helps just everyone to be able to find that great hiding place. So as that predetermined number is counted by the seeker, that seeker, he counts off, and I know most people, I know the people that I always played with, you know, it was more like 1, 2, skip a few, 50, right? And then you try to go find and you seek who has been hiding. So as the seeker is counting, though, the hiders, they disperse and they try to find that best hiding place where they can hide. Now, after that seeker is done counting, he looks around and he starts going around wherever the field may be. It may be inside, it may be outside, but he starts seeking those who are hiding. Now, the best part of hide and seek, I think, is when you, as the seeker, if that is you, you come upon someone who is hiding. There's like a rush of adrenaline that just goes through you, isn't there? And then as the hider typically takes off. And the seeker must chase after. Now, we know the rules that if the hider makes it to home base before he is tagged, he's safe. But if he gets tagged, he's it, and now he becomes the seeker. Do I have the rules right so far? Okay. And I know there's all kinds of variations, and you may play it differently, but that's okay. But what a blast hide and seek is. Now, hide and seek really is good for any age, isn't it? It's not just a children's game. I remember a time, I was about 15 years old, and a man in my church named Larry McDonald had hired a friend of mine named Stephen Arnold, and myself to do a job for him. Larry was a painter by trade, owned his own business, and he had painted a house that the owners weren't satisfied with two of the rooms that were painted and said they needed to be redone. And so Larry figured that Stephen and I could do it cheaper than what he had already paid his regular employees to do. And so he hired Stephen and I to go and paint this house. We determined that he would pick us up. And so Larry came on that Saturday, picked Stephen and I up, and he was driving out. And we went to one of the most exclusive areas in the Indianapolis, Indiana area. And I'm talking houses that on Geist Reservoir. I mean, just huge. I mean, huge homes. Steve and I, as we're in the car, I mean, we had heard about Geist, but we didn't live there. And since we didn't drive, we had never really been there. And so we're driving through this neighborhood, and we're just like this, looking around at these houses and like, can you believe that? I mean, it was just amazing. And so finally, Larry pulls up to this house, and this house was huge. Right around 9,000 square feet. I mean, just massive. Larry took us inside of the home that had four levels, not including the basement. So a basement plus four levels of home. And again, Steve and I were just like, whoa. Now, the house was empty. The folks hadn't moved in yet. And so we're just looking around. And Steve and I, of course, we're like, man, this place is huge. And Larry, we made our way to the second floor, and he took us to two bedrooms right side by side to each other, and he showed us exactly what needed to be done. And he looked at his watch, and he said, it shouldn't take you too long, but I need to leave, and I'll come back and check in on you guys and see where you're at in a couple of hours. And so we're looking around and we begin to put out the drop cloths and get the paint prepared, and we're putting the roller covers on the rollers and the paint brushes are ready. We get the step ladder out, and Stephen looks at me and he says, "Hey, want to play hide and seek?" And me being the individual that I am, I said, "Stephen, man, come on. Larry hired us to do a job. And we need to get this job done." That is not what I said. I said, yeah. And so we began to determine, just the two of us. I said, "Well, since it's your idea, you are it." He's like, "Oh, I didn't want to be it. I wanted you to be it." And so we went through all the rules. You've got to count to this number, and then you'll disperse. And we ran and covered every square foot of that house. I mean, upstairs, downstairs, in the basement, in the closets, anywhere we could. I think one time Stephen even hid in one of the cabinets in the kitchen. And we had a blast. And then Larry came back. We'd eventually stopped and said, we got to get going here. But we got up in there and we had, I think, 1.5 walls painted, nothing trimmed out yet. And Larry gets back and he read us the riot act. "What have you guys been doing? 1.5 walls painted." He was not a happy camper, and rightfully so. We didn't tell him we played hide and seek. We made up a reason, and it wasn't hide and seek, but he wasn't happy, and he told us that we had a certain time limit to complete the job, and Larry left again. We finished the job as we laughed about playing hide and seek. And it's one of those things, we're now, 25 years later, anytime I see Stephen Arnold, we still talk about that hide-and-seek game. That's how awesome it was. And we talk about that. Now, I share with you and want to illustrate that story as we introduce this topic about playing hide-and-seek. It's fun at any age. It's fun at any age. You see, there is something inside of mankind. It's just an innate object that causes us to have an overwhelming desire to seek things out. Whether it's in a game of hide and seek, or whether it is in knowledge, whether it is in learning, there is an overwhelming desire to seek things out. And then there's a certain amount of thrill, or again, adrenaline, that comes to us when we find what we're seeking. It's just exhilarating as we go through that. And finding, again, what we're seeking is one of the most rewarding emotions in life. Whether, again, it's a game of hide and seek, whether it's finding your lost keys, your glasses, or any product that you've been searching for, we find it totally thrilling to find what we're looking for. Now, as we continue looking at our theme of knowing God, I want to preach on this subject again, knowing God by seeking Him through the Scriptures. And one of the most rewarding and thrilling things in the Christian life truly is seeking a God who wants to be and makes it extremely possible to be found. Yeah, He wants to be found. And that brings us to our first point as we look at this topic of seeking God through the Scriptures. I want you to be able to find, as you seek Him through the Scriptures, that number one, God desires to be sought after. So number one, God desires to be sought after. We find right here in our text verse that God is looking for those who are seeking Him. Notice verse number 2, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if any that did understand and seek God." You see, God is the one who designed us and created us to have a desire to seek. But not just to seek. And again, many times we seek things that we have lost, and we seek things that we have maybe a knowledge of, or we want to learn more about. But there is something inside of man that causes him to have a desire to look for God. And it is in that desire that it is because God created us that way. God created us to look for Him. And He is inviting us, not is He just looking for those who are seeking, but He is inviting for men to begin seeking. Look at Psalm 27, verse number 8. Psalm 27, verse number 8, just a few pages over in Psalm 27. God is inviting us to begin seeking Him. Notice in verse number, in Psalm 27, verse number 8, He said, "When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." You see, God puts this invitation out to say, seek me. Seek me. I want to be sought. I want to be sought after. And not only does He give a desire for us to seek Him, but He gives us that invitation to seek Him as well. And He's also giving us some instructions for men to be seeking Him. The instruction or the command we find in Psalm 105. Psalm 105, if you want to look there or write it down, you can do either one. But in the 105th Psalm, in verse number 3, He says, "Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth." You see, God is giving us some instruction. So He has a desire to be sought after. He makes Himself to where He can be found as He is giving those instructions. So we see that God desires to be sought after. And number two, we see that God desires again to be found. God desires to be found. He tells us in Deuteronomy, chapter number 4 in verse 29, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him. If thou shalt seek Him with thy whole heart and with all thy soul." Deuteronomy 4, 29. So God says not only does He have a desire to be sought, but God has made it very possible to be found. Isn't that amazing? That God says, "Hey, I want you to seek me," and if we can use the terms of hide and seek, as God is hiding, I'd like to say if God is hiding, He's hiding in plain sight. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes when you're looking for that thing that you have misplaced or that you thought it was here, but it's not, and you're looking, and then when you finally find it, it was out in the open. And you overlooked it 7, 8, maybe 10 times before you came across it and found it. Yeah, see, that's kind of how God is. In Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14, He says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with your whole heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord." You see, God says all we have to do is seek Him. He wants to be found. He wants to be sought after, and He desires to be found. I remember when Chloe was our only child, we had a great time, and she would occasionally ask, "Can we play hide and seek?" Now, you were probably so young, you don't even remember. But there were times when we would play hide and seek. Now, I am remembering that with every 2 or 3 year old, they're honestly just horrible hiders. And they're even worse seekers. Now, at the same time, you know, and I understand their brains just aren't developed enough to play the game the way it was intended to play, and that's all right. But I've never been the type of parent that just, you know, for all intents and purposes, I've just never let my children win. I think it brings good character to lose. And I like to win. And so I've just tried to teach them that it's okay to lose and it's important to know how to lose. Amen. However, when you're playing with a 2 or 3 year old, sometimes you have to give in just a little. And I remember one time we lived in this one particular house and Chloe had asked, "Can we play hide and seek?" And, we began to play. And I would try to hide, but yet make it obvious of where I was hiding. For example, sometimes I would hide behind the curtains, but I'd leave my feet stuck out from the bottom. And amazingly, she couldn't find me. Then, you see her walk past, or you hear her walk past, she just kind of cough. And then she'd hear, and eventually she'd come pull the curtains back. I'm like, oh, you found me. And then she would hide, and we would go back and forth. One time, I think one of the greatest times, I hid underneath the kitchen table. And, you know, plain sight, I mean, right at her eye level. And she walked by several times. I was kind of behind the chairs, but you could still see me. I'm not a small guy. Then one of the best times, though, because I was trying to teach her, you know, okay, Dad's not going to be always easy to find. And so I hid in the bathroom in the shower with the shower curtain closed for a good long while. She eventually found me. And we began to play. Man, we just had a great time. But I think as most parents playing hide and seek with 2 and 3 and 4 year olds, we try to make ourselves to be available to be found, don't we? And you know, the Bible gives us this illustration and this example that God is our Heavenly Father. And I like to say, if God is our Heavenly Father, and I'm in comparison to God, I'm a horrible father. A horrible father compared to God. God is the best father there is. And God says, hey, I have a desire to be found. And He hides in that open place that we might find Him. And where do we find Him? We find Him in the pages of God's Word. That is where we find God. And so God, if we seek Him with our whole heart and our whole soul, the Bible says you will find God. We seek Him. Hey, can I say this? We seek Him even when we're not sure we'll find Him. Look with me, if you will, over to the book of Acts. Acts number 17, chapter 17. I want you to see this with your own eyes. Acts 17. Because when we seek Him with our whole heart and all of our heart and our whole soul, we will find God. But you know, sometimes when we go out searching something, we're not always positive and we're not always sure that we will always find what we're looking for. As a matter of fact, most of the time when we begin seeking something, we're not even sure that we're going to find it. We go into it with such a pessimistic mindset that we will not find what we're looking for. And so here in Acts number 17, the Bible says in verse 22, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For I passed by, and behold your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you. God made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and the breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation.'" I want you to stop there just for a moment. So Paul is talking to these men at Mars Hill, and he says again in verse number 23, he says he found the inscription on an altar that says, "To the unknown God." And in their ignorance, they're worshiping an unknown God, a false idol, a false God. And Paul says in verse 24, or in verse 23, he says, "I want to declare God unto you." He said, "It's God that hath made the world and all things therein, seeing He's Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything." What Paul is saying here is God is not a God who is unknown, but God is the God of the known. He is a known God, and He doesn't need necessarily mankind, but He makes Himself available. He says, "As men, all nations dwell on the face of the earth and have determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitations." Verse number 27, continuing, he says that they should seek the Lord. He's saying that all men should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. You see, sometimes we're seeking even when we aren't sure what we'll find. But Paul, again, Paul shows us that God has a desire to be found because he's talking about every man on the earth, every habitation, every man. He says that they should seek the Lord. Now, we have a couple of words here that I think is important for us to define as we see this particular verse. That first word where he says, if haply. And in this definition here, it simply means by chance, perhaps, or it may be. So Paul says, hey, that they should seek the Lord, and if by chance, or if perhaps, they might feel after Him. To feel after simply means to search for, or to seek, or to find. And here's one, to seek as a person groping in the dark. You ever tried to find something in the dark? With your eyes closed? It's rather strange when the lights are out or when you can't see. The girls the other day were in their bedroom and they were playing a game where they were doing each other's makeup. Okay, that's good. And they decided that it would be a fun game that the one who was putting the makeup on would be blindfolded. And I will tell you, beautiful was not the adjective I would use to describe the end result. Clown-like, maybe, but not beautiful. And of course, that's part of the fun, is doing it blindfolded and having, you know, seen the final product. Now, they found the face, and they found the eyes, and they located things, but it just wasn't the same as when your eyes are open. Just not the same. But Paul is saying in this, get this, he's saying that that they should seek the Lord if haply, if by chance they might feel after Him, if by chance they might search for Him. And find Him. He says, I understand they're in darkness. I understand that they don't know exactly what they're looking for. But if by chance they would just feel after Him or go after Him and search after Him, they'll find Him. They'll find Him. Why? Because God desires to be found. He desires to be found. Number three, God desires to be sought first. God desires to be sought first. Isaiah 26:9 says, With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. Will I seek thee early? You see, Isaiah had learned something. He learned that in seeking the Lord, in knowing who God is, he said, there's going to be times in my life that I desired thee in the night. But he found that if he would just seek Him early, he could always find Him in the night. Isn't that something? Why is that? Why? Because God desires to be found, but God desires to be sought first. Even Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, most of you know this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things shall be added unto you, but seek ye first. You know, I ask a question this morning. What are you seeking for? As men, as women, as boys and girls, what are you seeking for? Are you seeking to know God? You know, both the hummingbird and the vulture, they're both birds. And they fly over looking for something, in search of something. The vulture is on the search for rotting meat. He's looking for something that is dead. That's what they look for. The vulture thrives on that diet. The vulture lives on what was, lives in the past, lives on the past, I should say. And they fill themselves with what is dead and gone. But not the hummingbird. The hummingbird is not looking for the smelly, rotting flesh of dead animals. Pretty much ignores that. Probably never entered his mind that he could eat it. But hummingbirds live on what is. You see, they're in search of something that has new life. As they look for that fresh flower, they fill themselves with that freshness and life. You see, here are the facts though. Each bird, the vulture, as well as the hummingbird, they always find what they're seeking. They always find what they're seeking. What are you seeking this morning? As kids, again, we all enjoyed playing hide and seek. God has given to each of us the ability not only to seek Him, but to find Him. Bring back to yourself that thrilling feeling of finding as a seeker the one who desires to be sought. Again, the difference between a game of hide and seek here on earth and a game with the Heavenly Father is He hides in plain view. He hides in the pages of His holy Word. And I will tell you, if you don't seem in your life to be finding God, who do you think that's on? God? Because that's who we like to blame, isn't it? We like to take a look around and say, God, where are you? God, I can't find you anywhere. You don't seem to be anywhere around. And yet Paul already illustrated to us, He's not far from us. We just have to search Him. And search Him in the right place. Search Him with all of our heart. And so if you're not finding, don't seem to be finding Him, it's not because He's hiding in some secret place in the dark where you can't go to. It's more than likely it's because you're not seeking Him the way He desires to be sought after. Through His holy Word. You get in there with all your heart, with all your soul. I promise you, the Word of God promises you. I can't promise you anything. But God said, you seek Him with all your heart, with all your soul, you'll find Him. And when you find Him, guess what? You can get to know Him. Again, that ought to be our desire this morning, to know God. To know Him for who He is. And He makes it available to us. That we may know God by seeking Him through the Scriptures.
Thank you for listening to this sermon on At the Crossroads. We hope it was a blessing and encouragement. Please contact us with any questions or comments. Send email to pastor@crossroadsbaptistmobile.com or call us at 251-639-9500.